comedian Skylar Stone is not only a top stand-up headliner nationwide, he's also an in-demand actor, writer, and producer. His roles have included everything from playing Danny DeVito's son in No Place Like Home to Scarlett Johansson's husband in The Island. Sounds like tough duty. Skylar's also appeared in Waiting with Dane Cook, Stuck on You with Matt Damon, and in the Christopher Guest comedy For Your Consideration. Skylar Stone, welcome to Seattle and the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Thank you very much. Really glad to be here.
You, where do you live?
I live in Hollywood, California.
Of course, you have to, right?
You have to. Well, you have to leave either Hollywood or Miami or, you know, New York. I don't like buildings. I don't do coke, so I chose Hollywood. So, you know.
Because there isn't any in Hollywood now?
It's actually a drier town than you think. It's not like that. The movies portray it to be, it's not like the movie Blow, you know, it's more like the movie, did you ever see Spun? When you go in the Valley, you never seen the movie Spun?
No, sounds good though.
Everybody's just like, the whole movie, like shaking their head. If you go in the Valley in Los Angeles, everyone's head is always shaking, like, meth, there's meth, yep, there's a meth user. You just kind of like throw a dart and hit him in the face.
I also, Los Angeles, of course, from the shows, Weeds and Entourage has the reputation if you just go down to the corner store and buy your pot, right?
Yeah, no, but there's stores, but they're really tricky. There's like a whole, there's politics into getting into those stores. Like, if you even show up with a buddy, like, you have to, like, literally have the card. You have to know them before. They, like, do a shakedown. It's, you can't just, like, show up. It's like a really big, you know.
But you need a prescription, right?
Yeah, you need a prescription card. And, we know a comic that had a prescription card. Oh, no comment. All right. No, there's, you have to have these cards, and they're laminated. And when you show up, you also have to, like, you know, there's, like, handshakes and everything. Like, I've never actually gotten past, like, the waiting room because I don't really know what to do.
Skylar, you're, I understand you do, well, two things. You do impressions, but also you've got celebrity phone numbers, big celebrity phone numbers like Paris Hilton, correct?
We could call Paris Hilton right now if we wanted to.
I've never had that dilemma before, whether or not I wanted to call Paris Hilton. How did you get her number?
Playboy Mansion, it was the Halloween party a couple years ago.
Oh, it's changed a couple years ago.
We call it quite often.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You call Paris Hilton?
Oh, yeah, we prank her all the time.
And when you call her, what do you do?
I'll usually call her up as, you know, someone that she would take the call from, like, you know.
So I pretend I'm somebody important.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Playing, you know, fifth banana and waiting doesn't really impress her, so I act like I'm the first banana. Yeah, I'll call her up as, like maybe like Vince Vaughn or Owen Wilson or, you know, someone like that.
I'll try it. I'm game.
I'm game too. All right, let's pull out this number here.
I love this, man.
Paris Hilton.
Don't put it on the air.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Okay. Where's the? Oh, I got it.
Yeah, thank you.
Is this early for Paris?
Mailbox belonging to
Matthew Whitten.
Is full and cannot...
Matthew Whitten. Who is Matthew Whitten?
This guy does a great Paris Hilton impression.
It's this number.
I think we might have dialed
the wrong number. What number did you have?
Matthew Whitten. Let's go. Matthew Whitten.
I left that Vince Vaughn for Matthew Whitten. The mailbox belonging to, and I was waiting for...
Hi. Yeah. Loves it.
All right, this is the number. You gave her the wrong number.
I don't know what number you were dialing.
Mike, where'd you get that stupid number?
That was Bigfoot.
That's the Bigfoot guy.
Oh, that's the Bigfoot thing?
Don't draw me into that.
Your silly game
hold on,
of ruse.
We had two numbers slated for this interview. One was to show you the Bigfoot hotline where they tell you what happened with Bigfoot. The other was Paris Hilton.
We're on a roll so far.
So they put the Paris they put the Bigfoot number up.
With the tricky words Bigfoot tip line next to it. I don't know where.
This is also how my stand-up show goes. I usually do the punchline first and the jokes afterwards.
All right, hang on. Let me try it. So this is Paris Hilton. You say. Watch. It's totally not going to be.
Hi, you reached Jiffy Wad Plumbing.
We're going to call ours Vince Vaughn.
It's been forwarded to an automatic voice
message. Oh, Paris.
310.
I bet this could.
4. Not. To page this person, press 5 now.
Someone's getting gangbanged right now.
Hey.
How do you mean that?
Paris, it's Vince. Listen, I saw you last night at the Green Door. I want to talk to you about it, you know. Having a lot of problems lately because, you know, sometimes I think about myself and I think Hollywood likes me, but they might not like me, but they're like, you know what I mean. Just give me a call, okay? Give me a call. We're going to talk about stuff, right? Because right now I got a couple of hot button issues I want to talk to you about. And, you know, mostly I just want to see what you're wearing right now. I want to talk to you about a lot of stuff. So 213-835-9924. Thank you.
Whose number is that?
I don't know.
But who would mind getting a wrong number from Paris Hilton?
Right?
Who would mind? No one.
So far we've called the Bigfoot people.
Yeah. Let's call the Bigfoot back, actually. Okay. I think that actually we should have stuck with that.
Well, it didn't sound like we were getting the Bigfoot people.
Yeah, we had his message. Oh, the message was full.
I bet I can tell you what's going to happen.
Okay, Svengali.
Let me try to make sure. No, you're right. It was full. We've crossed off everything on your list now.
I've got nothing to talk about.
Well, I will say you once called Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he bought the whole thing, right?
I called Arnold Schwarzenegger as Michael Douglas and got him on the phone and made dinner plans with him. Swear to God. Got him on the phone. You know, that's a phone number that was hard to get. I stole it off someone's Rolodex that I should have never stolen it from. And it was a very powerful guy. And we were all on a road trip, and we were just like headed to Vegas. And I'm like, let's call the governor. And everyone's like, why not? So we get the governor on the phone, and I mean, they've known each other for years. Like Danny DeVito and Michael Douglas and Schwarzenegger, they're all like, you know, like good buddies. And so I'm surprised this worked because he knows his voice in and out. He's worked with him, and you'd think he'd like, you know, be able to hear any holes in it. But got him on the phone, made dinner plans, and so much so that like 2 weeks later, I get a phone call back, and someone goes, it was like the middle of the night, and like my phone's ringing, and it says like blocked call, and I pick it up, and they're like, yeah, is someone related or associated with Michael Douglas at this phone? And I'm like, the actor? You know, I totally like played it off. And I'm like, they're like, yeah, listen, this may just sound really weird, but someone tried to call the governor of California as Michael Douglas. And I was like, hey, Carl, check this out. You got to hear this. Someone thinks I called the governor. I totally acted like, you know, no idea and like nothing about it. And so they just like continually called me over and over and over until finally I had to change my number because, like, I mean, literally the state was after me for like, you know, fooling the governor to make dinner plans.
Well, it's a good thing they don't have the internet, so they can't hear about this.
I know, it's all over YouTube now, right, so you think. Right. Yeah.
Now, we got to watch him, by the way. Don't let him near any Rolodexes, databases.
I noticed that. Well, we don't know anybody important. What's going to steal from us?
Well,
I heard your Comedy Central show, many episodes couldn't air for legal reasons. You don't necessarily always do things the way you're supposed to do them.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, that show got canceled fast because, you know, I'd say about 6 of the 9 episodes we shot were even, like, legally clearable. You know, we snuck into the Playboy Mansion. And Hugh Hefner sued us. We showed up at a Subway restaurant with a guy that didn't even look like Jared Fogle. Probably as much as you look like Jared Fogle. You know the guy that lost all the weight?
Oh, yeah. I haven't lost all the weight, so nobody would ever mistake me for Jared.
Well, we showed up with a guy that didn't look anything like him and said, this is Jared Fogle. He's here to sign some autographs and get some free sandwiches. They let us in. And
no kidding. Yeah.
Well, because the guy behind the counter, you know, Zitz Magoo, over there, dude, if I don't let Jared hang up, they're going to fire me.
It was hilarious.
And one more job.
We had, like, all these, like, you know, demands and stuff. You know, we're like, listen, Jared eats a 9-inch sandwich. Like, well, we only have 6 and 12. We're like, make it happen, okay? Take a 12, hack 3 off, all right? All right, this is Jared freaking Fogle. So they were like, they totally just gave us, you know, all these free sandwiches, and we were signing autographs and, you know, signing boobs. It was great.
Did fans buy it?
Yeah, everybody bought it. Everybody bought it.
People, think about it. How many of you walk around with a picture of Jared in your head?
No, you're right.
You know?
Yeah, can you picture him right now?
Well, sadly, yes. Yeah,
where's the science?
That's a therapy session.
Where's the science? We meet Jared Science here. It's clearly in the writer.
You got that on film, and Subway wouldn't clear you to air it, huh?
They wouldn't. Subway was really, really, really pissed off. You go after somebody's spokesperson, and I learned a valuable lesson. Like, yeah. You know, they take those people very seriously.
Don't try to bring someone in as the Starbucks mermaid either. They protect their brand. They protect their
company. Do they ever?
Yes, they do. So now, I understand that you do occasionally kiss and tell. That you have had.
Who said that?
Paris Hilton.
We didn't even get her on the phone. What do you mean, kiss and tell?
Well, you have been with some celebrities.
A couple celebrities?
Famous people.
Okay.
And any guys we know?
You suck.
The whole cast is Saved by the Bell.
Screech and screech, didn't you?
So, what kind of details do you want?
Well, we're a somewhat family friendly show, so.
What I'd like to know, I don't even want to know name, but is it because they were a celebrity?
Well, okay, well, you've seen Waiting. You told me earlier before we got on the air. Okay, do you remember the girl in Waiting?
Not old enough to be the hostess, that girl?
No.
Oh, because she was smoking. I didn't jump on that.
But she really isn't old enough to be the hostess. Yeah, so that would be
and
bad.
And by the way, he was also with her, but ixnay on the not old enough part.
Yeah. Einerman.
Way to set me up there. You know, the one that was underage?
Yeah.
No, the girl that shows her, can I say hoo-ha? Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
You got to say it like Al Pacino.
Hoo-ha! The girl that shows her hoo-ha. You know, Alana Ubach. Look her up. Do you have the internet right
Alana
there?
Ubach? Yeah.
Alana Ubach?
How do you spell that?
U-B-A-C-H. He's looking her up right now. Of course he is.
Totally
that's
are.
Exactly what he was going to do. You didn't even have to tell him to do that.
Yeah, you bet.
He's looking her up right now.
So holy cow!
So how did you meet
her? How did I meet Alana Ubach? She was a crazy, crazy, crazy girl on the set, and people were actually signing scripts on the last day, you know, like signing their names, saying, oh, I'm going to miss you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She just wrote me, call me if you ever want to, F, and then put her phone number. And I didn't believe it, but sure enough, I called her. And
you didn't believe it, but you were sitting there with that phone number, right, for days.
Yeah. Well, just wondering, like, you know, like, I thought it was going to be, you know, like me giving you Parasol's number. Like, is this going to be real?
That's what I looked at it. Like, yeah. I bet this is just the Bigfoot hotline.
Yeah. It was the big hotline. It wasn't the Bigfoot hotline.
So you call her up and said, this is Michael Douglas.
I want to come over to your house, take care of you, hold you, drink with you, take long walks in the park.
Wow, that's good, Michael Douglas.
Thank you.
Can you talk to me about greed for a little bit?
Greed is good. I actually don't know that monologue.
Oh.
Greed is good. Greed is bad. Me and my wife, Catherine Zeta, love to use cottage cheese in the bedroom.
Cheese is good.
So you since you've talked about this girl, does she not mind that you talk about her? Some celebrities.
Oh, I could care less.
Yeah. Oh, you don't care. If
we were together 4 years. We got engaged, and she cheated on me. I'll tell you whatever you want.
Oh, man. She's right now doing a radio show in the Quad Cities. Right? Going, yeah, I cheated on this guy. You know? Yeah.
Oh, that's tough when a trophy like that cheats on
when a trophy?
Yeah.
Especially. Ah, when a trophy cheats. That's the worst.
When an ugly person cheats, it's no big deal.
Right? Yeah. It's like, you know, I was doing the same thing. But yeah, no, when a hot girl like cheats on you, you feel trumped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally sucks. Listen, guys. I'm kidding.
You have said that you feel sorry for Brad Pitt. I'm curious as to why.
How can nobody not feel sorry for Brad Pitt? Look at the guy. I mean, he literally looks like, you know, like a Japanese wife walking 10 feet behind their husband. You know what I mean? He just, like, stands there with his head down. Have you seen him in these people photos? Like, the guy looks miserable right now. Like, there's no way in the world that you ever look at a woman like Angelina Jolie and go, man, if I could just get that girl, get her naked, get some oil on her, and then go adopt a bunch of freaking kids that don't belong to me. That is not the end of that fantasy.
No.
That is not how that goes. Like, you know what I mean? Brad Pitt thought he was signing up for a good time on a sex swing and maybe melting weird things on her nipples like Swiss cheese. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't think that he was going to be pushing kids in a play school swing and picking kids up from Chuck E. Cheese. That was not the end of that, you know? He's walking around. He looks so pissed off right now. And it's, you know, why is she doing this? You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think he's ever even had sex with her. I think, like, you know, every time she gets a kid, she goes a little further. So, like, I think once he gets, like, for, like, kid number 10, he's finally going to, like, actually bang her. I don't even believe they've had kids yet. I don't think those are his kids. I don't.
Those twins?
She's not playing strip poker. She's playing strip adoption right now. That's pretty much what she's doing.
She's like strip mining countries.
She's just like, you know, next, you know, two more and I'll have a threesome with Clooney. Three more and we can have a Dirty Sanchez. You know what I mean? Like, she's just like totally like holding him up, and I feel bad for him. I feel like he's like he is at the end of Seven. You know what I mean? He's like, what's in the panties? Angie, what's in the panties? And he's like holding a gun up to her, and he's pissed off. And why does she think she can save the world? I'm so tired of her, like, you know, just because she made $50 million last year, why does she feel like she needs to save the world? No. Buy your friends an island, eat some filet mignon, and tell, you know, just leave us all alone. I'm so sick of hearing from her.
Skylar Stone. Skylar. I don't know if that's how you wanted to go out, but
hey, I'm a pissed off. You know,
Skylar Stone, do you currently have a squeeze? Are you reset up now?
No, I was just banging another actress, and that's over, too.
Oh.
You look her up, Anna Kendrick.
I'm your guy, buddy.
Okay, do you let them know going in?
I could care less if they heard me say this on the radio. I could care less. Right.
Skylar Stone, I'm sure you'll hear more. Skylar, nice to see you.
You too.
All right.
For the man,
too big for a man, they couldn't fake it,
so he's leaving the life,
he's off
he's
the road,
where he roams,
he said he's gone.
said, going after fine.
Going after fine.
What's left
of his clan?
The world he left behind. Not
past
so
the mobile home.
Oh, that's where they found him.
Found a Bigfoot town in Georgia.
Yeah. Said he's going back.
Kind of brown and black.
To a similar place
of time. I believe them.
I know you will.
Let the
Bigfoot town in Georgia.
What the sad thing here is, really, I think it's Squatch.
You think so?
Former got, Sonic mascot Squatch you, found.
And he stopped to ask for directions. Where is Oklahoma?
I swear it's real. You should have seen him doing backflips before we shot him. Coming down a rope in the middle of the square. We had to shoot him. It was like he was on meth or something.
Good morning, everybody. Our friend Jeff Dye, who Mike Jones called the last comic standing loser, after claiming the second runner-up prize. How many comics do you start with on that show?
Over 150,000 comedians, so oh, really? Third ain't bad, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, loser, my butt.
Okay, miss third place.
I came in a little aggressive. I came in a little aggressive this morning. I apologize.
That's all right. And Jeff Dye just completed the season of NBC's Last Comic Standing. Do you, when you do an all-ages show, do you modify your act, or is your act always
my
clean?
My act's always pretty clean.
Jeff, very clever and edgy. He's also a comic that, we've had on the show several times. And welcome back again. Congratulations on Last Comic.
Thank you.
I should say third to last comic stand.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
Very good. We knew you were excited because you're a very happy and optimistic person. And you couldn't tell us how well you were doing in the show.
That's right.
But you had this grin, and I was like, he's doing really good. I know he's going to go far. Did you know that optimistic people live 7.5 years longer?
Is that true?
Than Mike Jones?
I hope that's true.
It is. Look at Don Rickles.
There you go.
Probably the most optimistic man on the face of the earth.
Definitely. Still going, for sure.
Now, I understand, and it's a total coincidence, that you're an incredibly astute Bigfoot fanatic, that you actually study Bigfoot.
That's true. Today is the day, or yesterday, actually, Bigfoot was proven real. That's and it's the day I get to say, I told you so, America. Finally, I don't look so crazy, do I? Yeah, Bigfoot is real.
I'm there with you, but I'm still, I got to see the DNA to know for sure.
Oh, DNA shmina, right?
Yeah.
Oh, science.
Never look at a guy and say, I got to see the DNA. Never do it.
Yeah, that's 101 right there.
Unless you're running for president.
Yeah. All right, well, it's just amazing, you know? Pluto's not a planet. Broccoli's bad for you. Bigfoot's real. Like, I don't even know why I did school, to be honest.
That Pluto not a planet thing kills me. I took my daughter to a pizza parlor, and there's one of those, the kids menu, where you color in a crossword of the planets.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's only 8 words.
They've modified the...
Yeah, Pluto is officially off the kids menu crossword.
They meant business.
There's 8 planets in this world now, and that's hard.
That yellow dog at Disney isn't walking around either.
Yeah,
why don't you just clean out your desk, Pluto? All right.
Have you? That's funny. Have you been to the website of the guy who discovered Pluto?
No, I haven't been to his website.
There's actually a Save Pluto as a Planet website and a small movement going on.
It's going to be very small.
Yeah,
who
send
really
you
cares
a link.
About that? Who are these people?
But anyway, so Jeff, you're basking in the glory of all that television exposure. You're going on the big tour with with the whole national thing they do, like the victory lap.
Yeah.
And and what else? Have other big names come a calling? You're going to get a sitcom? You're going to
hopefully. Yeah, it's been the show just got over, so we just basically got out of contract with NBC, but hopefully I'll be doing some other things. I'm trying to make the transition already for movies. Been doing some auditions and stuff like that, so we'll see.
Tell me about movie auditions. What's that like?
It's like you go in a room, and there's like an intern with a camera and a casting director with a thing, and they just basically videotape you, and you read what sides they gave you.
So you're and I've seen that in the movies, ironically. Sure. Mm-hmm. So your base, it is that, it's almost depressing,
sure,
isn't it?
And the casting director is like just slaughtering the lines and like just not really helping you at all. You've got to really like sell it. So it's kind of a vulnerable.
You've got to look at the lines and you've got to immediately make assumptions and come up with a character.
Sure.
In a
sense.
Well,
they send it to you like the day before, but it is a little annoying going in there and like you feel like a real schmuck.
And they want to see what you do with the character.
That's right.
Because you could do it a bunch of different ways.
Yep.
Give me an example of a character you've had to go in and be.
Usually all the characters are just kind of like myself. So, like, I'll try to make it as much as me possible.
Oh, okay. Because they just want you to be wild and wacky. And,
yeah.
Okay. You'll probably be in one of those stoner movies then.
Probably. They'll look at me and they'll
Harold
say,
and Kumar go to IHOP.
Right. It'll be exactly like that.
Well, they're very big right now.
Sure.
There's a lot of money in stoner movies, apparently.
Yeah, that's
true.
Well,
Pineapple Express is number one comedy in America, so next month they're starting Mango Express. Kiwi Express is coming
sure.
up.
Sure. Produce is the next big thing in comedy. It's going to be huge.
And what's the other one, where they're at war and they're stoners and they get lost or something? Didn't that just start?
No, that's...
That's called Pineapple Bomb Express, I think.
No.
Tropical Thunder?
Tropical Thunder.
Yeah, but that's not a stoner movie.
Oh, Tropicana Thunder. That's what you're thinking of.
No, I heard that Tropic Thunder was a stoner movie.
I heard it was a movie about actors who get... kidnapped her while they're on a shoot overseas.
They're making a war movie, and it turns out they get in a real
Bob
war.
Bob hasn't seen one preview.
Nope.
It's supposed to be the funniest movie of the
year.
It is
getting great buzz. Yeah.
Tom Cruise is in it. Not a lot of people know that.
Now, do you have any leading ladies you'd like to make love to on screen that you have, you know, now that you're going to have a film career?
No, basically anyone in Hollywood. You know what I mean?
That doesn't matter.
Any lady in Hollywood? Yeah, they're all
Roseanne Barr,
top of the list.
So,
sure,
Roseanne Barr.
Big thing for funny ladies. A big thing for funny. Yeah.
So you're
like climb every mountain that you're doing.
What if all the women I was really like interested in are just really old? Rita Rudner. I've always had a thing for. Cher. Whoa.
Well, it's interesting. At the very beginning of your career in Hollywood, every woman in Hollywood is out of your league. That's an interesting place to start.
It is. It's not fair, really. You got to start low.
Well, I heard
I'm the Pluto of.
I heard you met a girl since the last time we saw you down there that you're dating. Is that true?
That is the rumor.
The rumor is
that's
she's the like
rumor.
The playmate of the year.
Yeah, Sarah Jean Underwood. We've been hanging out. Yeah.
She's hot.
Oh, thank you. That's
she's
very nice.
She's hot.
From
you
the
have
other
a,
room.
You have a playmate of the year?
Well, we've been hanging out, me and Sarah, yeah. But the great thing is going to the Playboy Mansion and hanging out is nobody understands that the Playboy Mansion is actually, like, you know, a lot of, like, good-looking young girls and then a bunch of old people that Hugh Hefner, like, went. It's like a YMCA. They come to play tennis. And like, oh, we've known Hugh for... So we went to high school together. You're like, oh, man, I didn't know there's as many old people here, like, eating pineapple off, like, paper plates and being like, oh, and later, let me show you the monkey cages. You're like, no, thank you. Please leave immediately.
Now, they said yesterday Hugh's kind of done throwing parties. He's going to have a big Halloween bash.
Slow it down.
Yeah, he's going to reel it back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he said after that, you can rent him for parties.
Yeah, that's how it works. He comes out on strings, which is really, scary.
Yeah. What he's been doing.
So how did you meet the Playmate?
Huh? When we went to the show. When we went to the mansion for the show on Last Comic, so neat. The show helped in a lot.
And now, how do you know? Like you're hitting it off with her. She's smart and she's fun and she's obviously very very gorgeous. How do you work that? I mean, it's
just like any I don't know
like any other woman yeah, really? Because like, yeah, I would be told I would, you know, that was my problem. I was just so intimidated. That I would, you know, be like a character in one of those dumb movies.
Ah, I'm a big fat. I loved your issue of the Perils of Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that happened. Wow.
But you were not intimidated.
My stool, you know.
But you were confident and had a good time.
She's great. She's really nice and fun to hang out with. And she's not, you know, I don't think she doesn't play the intimidating card. You know what I mean? She's not, like, unapproachable. She's nice.
She has 124,000 MySpace friends. You
it's
don't feel
ridiculous.
Threatened.
Yeah. Actually, that, yeah.
Was she a cheerleader?
In the electronic world, she is out of my league.
Was she a cheerleader, and what were her hobbies in high school? How did she look when she was 7? Come on, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Let's get to the bottom of this radio spot, really.
Yeah, baby.
I came in wanting to talk about Bigfoot, and we've already switched gears.
Now, on this Bigfoot story, aside from the fact that it just came out today, they say they're going to give us DNA evidence. But they're not going to actually bring out the carcass of Bigfoot. They just had a picture.
Oh, they're not going
to? No.
We're saving that.
I hope they save it long enough for our Bigfoot Found in Georgia song to become a huge
definitely,
hit.
Definitely.
You say you studied Bigfoot for a while. So
I don't have a degree in Bigfoot, you know, ology. I'm not a cryptozoologist. But, you know, panda bears were considered extinct until like 100 years ago. Like, you know, I mean, like no one, or not extinct, but they were considered fake. You know, for, you know,
the gorilla was just a mysterious man beast. Yeah,
yeah,
until
like,
the
1800s. Oh, you saw a hairy man.
So, like, are you saying there'll be a Bigfoot Express someday, like a buffet?
Definitely. That's the future. Bigfoots are the future. Definitely. Well, they think it's a descendant of Gigantopithecus, which is a real creature that used to, like a monkey that used to walk upright, a giant skull.
It's real. How could something that big, of course, is the question, have survived in America, where we've tried to pave over everything we can?
Well, in the Northwest, which is strange that it was found in Georgia, but there's like all these like logging trails and stuff that people can't get on, and like stuff like when a little kid is lost in the woods, like it's never found, and they know exactly where the kid was lost. Like, this thing must know we're gonna shoot it to prove it's real.
And these things can walk over trees. I mean, they're big. They could, you know, even though they're big, they'd be easy to spot. They're also easy to elude because they're fast. They could be way up high in the higher altitudes.
That's right.
Pedro says you're a bad driver.
That's what he said. He just saw me try to park, and that's not true.
Oh, okay.
I'm my old Jeep that I drove over the curb, and he saw that, and I said, "Listen, Pedro, I'm an excellent driver." That's what I told him.
You're a better driver than him.
Yeah, I guarantee
he's afraid to drive. You know that.
I didn't know that.
He has not got his license because he's afraid of driving instructors.
How old is Pedro? He's 21? He's
no, he's
two
like,
years off of getting his license.
He's like 43.
Oh, okay.
He's never driven. I undershot that, I think, a little bit. He has his wife drive him anywhere he wants
that's
to go.
That's a smarter man, if you ask me. I don't know.
Well, he's from Argentina, and that's a sign of power in Argentina, is that you sit in the back with one of those hats
and
wave.
And you tell them where to drive.
El Presidente is around.
In L.A., I have a Segway. That's all I drive around.
No,
I'm not trying
do
to...
not.
Not getting,
you don't have
I'm not getting on the roads out there. What do I look like?
You're not going to get a playmate with a segment. There's no way.
So, let's go to dinner.
So did you pull that move where, in order to save time, you just go up and on the curve?
I did that.
It's not a bad driver.
No, it's fine. And there was no one around. No one saw it. It's very safe.
It's aggressive driving.
That's right. Big tires like that, that's what it's made for.
Jeff Dye, a very big pleasure always to see you in our studio.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations on winning.
Thank you very much.
Ernest Borgnine was on Fox and Friends yesterday morning. What is that show? Is that what they play on the Fox channel? Is that their morning chat show?
Exactly. And let me explain this clip, because the cute part of this clip is that he was asked the secret for, you know, live that long. And he said, "I cannot tell you." And then he leans towards the host to whisper the secret in his ear without knowing that he had a mic in the lapel.
So it's another, "I don't know my mic is on."
Exactly.
All right, let's listen.
Couch today. We're going to talk to you in the after the show, but real quickly, you're 91 years old. You look fantastic. You look like you're in your late 60s, early 70s. What's the secret?
I don't dare tell you.
No meat. You don't eat meat.
I masturbate a lot.
Okay, I think. Thank you, Ernie. That was great.
I actually heard that.
Ernie, have you ever been on YouTube?
Yesterday.
What are you talking about? I love this guy. Okay. I just shook his hand.
Funny. By the way, that's true. It's good advice. Men.
I was going to say I'm going to leave 120, but that would sound really horrible if I say it. So.
Such shame in our society. No, it's there's medical reasons that it's extremely good for you.
Yeah, actually, that's been proven time and time again. That
time and time again.
Yeah.
And the reason?
Well, it actually stimulates the hormonal production in men by stimulating the prostate gland. That's really what it boils down to.
And what that does is, well, first off, it lessens your chance of bad things happening, because when stuff sits around, it just, well, you know what happens when you leave stuff sitting around. And it, I think it just, on a very basic level, sends the body a signal that someone still wants me. And it's, you're fooling yourself into thinking it's somebody else. And your body, because when no one wants you, right, then it's time to just, you know, quit eating the food so other people can procreate.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. On a basic biological level, if you are not able to procreate, you are no longer biologically relevant.
And even
ouch, yes, that's going to hurt in about 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. It's even better if you can actually, you know, have a wife or something to be with, because then you get the benefits of all the aerobics that come with that. I mean, this is.
I'm sorry. Could you explain that in more plain terms? Because I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, this is a great thing if this is what you're limited to. But if you can just have relations, then that is good for your body in so many ways. I mean, it strength.
Thank you, Mark Spitzer. Appreciate that commentary
on
the current Olympics. No, but I mean, he's right, but he's also skirting the issue. Nobody can. I mean, I don't know of any couple other than that one in Tukwila,
right,
that can, you know,
Rex and Debbie,
make it a viable.
They can be in their 70s, 80s, and still, you know,
burn enough calories to stay alive.
Look, I can only run so fast now, and I used to be able to run a lot faster when I was in my 20s. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're selling yourself short, because I have a grandpa who has a more active dating life than I ever did.
It's open
at 16.
I don't know. Maybe it'll
I'm
change.
Selling all of us short.
I can run every chance I get to race. You know, I mean, if only I could get
and
more
could
chances.
Could that be like two or three times a day?
If I had the, you know, opportunity now, and unfortunately that's not my situation, but.
Bingo.
Yeah, I think you probably both. All I'm saying is it's even better.
Vinny, go ahead.
That statement that Mike just had on the radio.
That was Eric.
Not procreating and you're biologically not wanting to do it. That's why I never got a vasectomy and I had my wife's tube side. I didn't want to know that I couldn't be able to procreate and be someone out there.
I'm confused.
Eric made a comment that when you stop becoming a reproducing member of society, you lose your will to live, basically? Is that?
Well, no. And let me clarify that if you get a vasectomy, that doesn't affect your lifespan, because it's you're just stopping the flow of the swimmers.
You don't make a call.
This guy freaked out. It took all the courage he had to call and make that call.
He didn't want to be interrogated.
I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable.
I made my wife go through a very painful and intrusive operation so that I would be allowed to feel like a man still. Pow! And I had to. Let the show.
Okay, is that what he was saying?
Oh, I thought he said he also had a vasectomy.
No, he said he didn't get a vasectomy.
He didn't want a vasectomy. He had her do it because
I knew I could go forth in the world and spread my seed at will.
A lot of guys do that. A lot of guys want the gal to get the surgery because they are really, guys are way more freaked out about their manhood at a younger age, and then women freak out about their womanhood at an older age. But really, it doesn't affect anything, does it?
No, it really doesn't. Well,
you've had them. You had one, and you had it undone,
both
right?
Both ways, yeah. So I can tell you. I don't know how graphic we want to get, but let's just say that
just think of that nursery rhyme. I'm just a bill. Put it into song form, and give it cute cartoon character names, and you can sing about it.
Okay, well, first of all, I can't sing very well, so I will...
I knew you couldn't do any of that, by the way.
I know. let's see,
Spike could do it, though.
Well, I can try.
I'll translate.
You translate into cartoon song for him.
Okay. When you are not impaired, when you don't have your tubes cut as a man, your production of male byproduct is considerably more than when it is cut and tied. And then if you untie it, then you'll notice that your production of byproduct is increased.
Cut to the song, quick.
I'm still a dude. Yes, I'm really a dude. Because my nuts is tied and they're full of fluid. And I can make me a baby anytime that I want.
More or less, yeah. But even after
that's called a vasectomy, and it's very painful.
It's actually not painful, and it takes about an hour or two to recover.
I've heard mixed reviews on that.
And always when they come back with a bag of frozen beef, hold on, it's very painful.
It hurts for about a week, and then
what?
After that, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what? It's almost more fun to talk about Ernest Borgnine. Ernest Borgnine. Making that point. And now he's going to be on our show.
Are you going to ask?
Is he going to cancel?
God willing. Still alive.
Is he going to cancel?
No. No, he's got a
he's got a project. Project.
Yeah.
He's probably loving this publicity.
Only if he has some private scheduling conflict.
Can you call back in 3 to 5 minutes?
What are you wearing, Bob?
George Takei's acting career has spanned 5 decades, and he's busier and more in demand now than he was back in the days when Mr. Sulu was boldly going around the universe on the Starship Enterprise. George has recently had roles on the hit NBC series Heroes, done a host of lucrative in voice and radio work, and has participated in narrative programs for many symphony orchestras. He's also had an asteroid named after him. George Takei, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's good to good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much.
You are...
I hear your voice has been on Star Trek Enterprise, is it?
Oh, that's interesting. You knew about that. Yeah, well,
I did indeed.
Now, come on. You did that so long, you know that they would have to bring in people to be killed off.
Oh, so you had a red shirt on.
Yeah, they hand you the red shirt and you're going to die. No, I was on a newer Star Trek, the one with that beautiful Vulcan model. What's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Jolene Blaylock.
Yeah.
Jolene Blaylock.
In fact, she had a nude scene on the same show, but of course, you know, they don't let the extras in for that sort of thing. But what a cool thing, even decades later, Star Trek was to be a part of.
I feel really blessed to have been lucky enough to get cast on that show because, you know, it was a rip-snorting good space opera, but more than that, it had a core philosophy and a vision of human life. You know, to look to the future with a positive view, an optimistic view, and to see it as a challenge to our to the best of our kind, our imagination, our inventive capability, our problem-solving capabilities. And one of the core philosophies was to find our strength in our diversity, infinite diversity in infinite combinations.
Wow.
So to be associated with a show like that, which really is part of my own personal philosophy as well, was a very great blessing.
Oh, good. So you won't mind me being fanatical here when I ask you. Like,
I think it speaks very well of you.
Okay. As a kid growing up, I looked at Star Trek, and I looked at the message behind every scene. And like, there's a show where the kids take over and there are no grown-ups. Remember, they were called Grups.
Right.
There's a scene where there's people who are clearly a metaphor for gay, and they're being discriminated against.
That's right.
And I don't know how old I was, 10 or 12.
There's a show where 4 boobs are better than 2.
Yeah. I
remember that one where 2 similar species couldn't get along, one only because one was black on the right side and white on the left side, and the other species was black on the left side and white on the right side. You know, that was an obvious metaphor.
And it was, especially during this time, when did Star Trek start and when did it end?
We filmed the pilot in 65,
okay.
And went on the air in 66, and the TV series was canceled in 69. And then 10 years later, in 79, we came back as a series of major motion pictures.
Right. And just a couple of years ago, I had to finally get a life because the last one was canceled.
So here you are.
Yeah. So, George,
Bob Rivers Show.
Back then, when these episodes were happening, and these were, you know, they were simplistic, more simplistic with regards to special effects and stuff because we didn't have technology at the time. You know, you would have a little box with some toggle switches on it, and it was supposed to be this futuristic deal. But back then, these all had amazing messages, and I know it was the vision of Roddenberry, Gene, and all. And were you guys, did you sit around and discuss the social implication? Because this is like pre-Archie Bunker, even. You were attacking prejudices and stereotypes and tearing them down in a completely different universe.
Well, you know, one unique thing about the way we filmed Star Trek was when we got a new script, we sat around at a big table in one corner of the soundstage, and we had a cast read, a table read which is unheard of in television. But and we would talk about, you know, the script and the character relationships and the message, core message in each script. But beyond that, Gene used to throw wonderful, relaxed parties, you know. And so we'd sit in the jacuzzi at his place and talk about our personal philosophies, and he would share his personal philosophies of life, and we would live that life. You know, Gene was a pantheist, you know, and he was really a child of the 50s and the 60s, or the 60s, I guess.
Now, what's a pantheist?
You know, there was nude bathing in his jacuzzi, if you chose to. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, you know, that was all right, too. And there were, you know, I mean, here's Asian me and African-American Nichelle, you know, and it was a very diverse group, and we related to each other for who we were, you know, each our individual personalities.
So you had that thing going on in between the two, all of you, because you were a diverse group. And, of course, exactly. We all know that William Shatner, nobody liked him, right?
Well, you know, he's a singularly gifted actor. I mean,
sure, there you go.
No one could have played Kirk the way he did.
And it's amazing. Like, I got to ask you, do you ever use Priceline.com when he comes at you with that negotiator stance?
I don't use Priceline.com because of him.
Okay.
Him too well.
Can I ask you about some of the things that Gene Roddenberry put forth on that show, which at the time were pure science fiction, have become part of our everyday lives, like the communicator, all these inventions that to us then seemed centuries away.
The futuristic technology that
yes.
we had. Well, you know, again, this is an indication of Gene's integrity. He could have had any wild thing on the show, you know, wild technology. But no, he wanted to use the actual scientific speculation of the times. And so we had the Rand Corporation as our consultant on the technology. And so we had this amazing device that we wore on our hip, you know, that we would rip off and flip open and start talking wherever and whenever we wanted to. No cords attached. You know, an amazing thing called our communicator.
Right.
And only a few decades later, it's become a real nuisance in our society, you know.
Right.
Theaters, we have to plead, beg, cajole people to turn them off.
But what if the ship needs me?
Right.
Well, then you have, you know, the buzzer.
The vibrator, yeah. You didn't think you guys didn't have them vibrating, but you would have eventually. Yes, Joe?
George, you're a very high-profile member now of the gay community, and you're going to take advantage of the chance to marry that they've made in California. But for decades, you did not make that a public part of your personality. What made
That's
you
right.
change your mind about that? At what point did you decide that it was time to say something about that?
Well, you know, I'm a child of my times, and, you know, growing up, I knew that I was excited by things that other guys were not excited by, you know, good-looking football players, good-looking, you know, long-distance runners with their sinewy muscles, and so you knew that, you know, that wasn't of the norm, so I kept it quiet, you know, and I dated girls, right. took girls to the prom and all that, but as I, you know, grew older, you know, I was living a double life. You kept it hidden and secret because it's not societally approved, and then I decided I wanted to make acting my career. And, you know, there are so many reasons why casting directors could reject you. You know, too tall, too short, too fat, too skinny, you know. And opportunities for Asian American actors were even more limiting.
So you
want to keep to a minimum.
Right. You didn't want to be too gay.
So, you know, I did live a closeted life.
Wow.
But it was a double life because I lived another life. However, in 2005, our legislature in California, both houses, the Senate and the Assembly, did an extraordinary thing, an historic thing. They passed the same-sex marriage bill, and all that was required was the signature of our governor for that to become the law of the state. And when Arnold Schwarzenegger, who campaigned saying, you know, some of my best friends are gays and lesbians, you know, and I'm comfortable with them. I worked with them, all that. I thought surely he would sign it. When he vetoed that, playing to the right-wing extremists in his Republican base, I knew that I had to speak up. And I had been in a relationship with my partner for over 20 years, and you know, that we thought that would be marriage equality would be the thing that would make our lives whole and and complete. And when he vetoed that, I felt I needed to speak out on it.
That's the thing that made you speak up.
Authentic.
So Shatner may have delivered the line, but you're the one who allowed two men to boldly go where no two men had ever gone before.
You know, but it took a long time for me to boldly go.
Sure.
Well, proud that you did.
Once I made that move, I felt that, you know, I needed to really pay my dues, and I went on a coast-to-coast speaking campaign with the Human Rights Campaign, speaking out on not only marriage equality, but equality generally. For example, don't ask, don't tell is really a self-defeating policy. You know, national security is of vital importance to us right now. And when, you know, and intelligence is crucial to that. But when...
And you can't, you put the tell in intelligence.
What?
You put the tell in intelligence.
Exactly.
Yeah. George, I know you got to run because they're telling me you got to run, but
I see.
I wanted to mention to you, A, that we love you in Heroes. Have you had your wedding yet? It's about to happen, right?
It's next month.
And
we go on a South American honeymoon for a month.
All right. Well, you have the advantage of, you know, knowing that you've pre-tested the guy out for 20 years, so you probably have a good shot at making it.
I've been living in sin for 21 years, and our Supreme Court said, well, all right, boys, it's about the time you legalize it. So we clicked our heels. He said, yes, sirs.
And you do have an asteroid named after you. All right.
Isn't that something?